Good evening. I invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Spoke with a lady a little earlier, and she remembers the first time I came, and I was wearing white pants and playing the instrument. And so that was and that would have been 1984. It's been 35 years ago. I'm blessed to be back. I remember some of you from 35 years ago. We were young once, weren't we? Well, I was so blessed to see you here. Blessed by the kindness of your pastor and his faithfulness to the Lord and your faithfulness as well here for these. You folks have been through quite some trials, have you not? And with the waters and the floods, and I believe the Lord had the right man in the pastor of this church when that happened, and I may have been tempted to say, let's just put it down. I thank the Lord for what He has done here, and thank the Lord for you, and it's a blessing to be with you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. My subject is, why we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul the Apostle says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I have endeavored to do that with my ministry. I've not been completely faithful to it, I will admit. But I have endeavored in my ministry to preach Christ Jesus the Lord every time the opportunity is given in the pulpit. Every minister of Jesus Christ does so. Every time we stand to preach is an opportunity to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. I have had people say, well, sometimes I preach my text and I don't find Christ in it. Well, I've not found that text yet. He's in the context. Every verse leads to Christ. We should look for Christ in every text. If you look closely enough, you're going to find Him. You look even in the genealogies and the book of Numbers, and you'll find that these are leading up to Jesus Christ, telling the forefathers and those who would precede Him and the line from which He would come and the people that He came to save. Well, why do you preach Christ Jesus the Lord? I have been asked that before. Why do you feel it necessary to preach Christ Jesus the Lord every time you get into the pulpit? Well, you did read my text, did you not? You did read it. This is the test. It's your testimony, is it not? We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, why? Well, okay. I'll take that as a good question. I'll take that as a sincere question. And if you will, I'll try to give you a sincere answer as to what it is to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. First of all, I would have you to know that Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the good news. He is the glad tidings. Every time we stand up to preach Christ, we are preaching the gospel. Every time we preach the gospel, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We are not of those who preach themselves. Who are they? And why do they preach themselves? There's a man who preaches man's free will. If he does, he denies the necessity of Christ to make men free. There's a man who preaches salvation by man's works. If he does, He denies the sufficiency of the work of Christ in saving sinners. There's a man who preaches commandments and laws and puts burdens on people. Why? He denies the liberty that is found in Christ Jesus the Lord. There's a man who preaches legal righteousness. Do this and you shall live. Do this and you shall be justified. Why does he do so? He denies the imputed righteousness of Christ. Why do men preach themselves? They do not know Christ. You show me a man who knows Christ Jesus the Lord, he'll have to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. You show me a man who preaches something else, I'll show you a man who does not know Christ Jesus the Lord. Why do they do so? Some fulfill the prophecy that Peter says that in the last days many will come preaching as false prophets. Paul tells us of men who have itching ears. They've heard the gospel, but there's an itching in their ears that the gospel does not satisfy. So they go around looking for some preacher who can scratch it for them. And he does it by preaching himself. There are many preachers who preach in the way of Balaam, do it for monetary reward. A lot of mercenaries out there that claim to be preaching Christ, and they're out to make a name for themselves, out to make a living for themselves in what they preach, but not so with the preaching of God's preachers. I have heard a lot of men who might make mention of Christ in a message and do not preach Him. Do not preach Him. I do not want to be found among that sort. Do not want to. I want to preach Christ Jesus the Lord every time I'm in the pulpit. Why, you may ask? Reason number one. We preach Christ because we love Christ more than ourselves. You can tell what a man loves most by what he preaches. It's just as simple as it can be. A man preaches, he's not forced to, he preaches what he loves most. Show me a man preaching his church, his righteousness, his works, his name, his books, his whatever it is. I'll show you a man who's in love with himself. You show me a man who's preaching Christ, I'll show you a man who is in love with Jesus Christ. We love Him more than we love ourselves. Paul speaks of some who are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Can you imagine? What if you walked up to me and said, what can you tell me about your wife? And I said, she's okay. And that's about all I had to say. How are your grandchildren? Yeah, they're okay. No, go ahead and ask me, how are your grandchildren? I got a few stories to tell you. I love my grandchildren. Ask me about my wife. How much time do you have? But you see, I love her. In our pulpits, what do we preach? What we love most. You show me a man who does not preach Christ, I'll show you a man who doesn't love Him. We preach what we love most. Second, we preach Christ because we delight in preaching Christ. It brings great pleasure to us. And again, you can tell what brings delight to a man by what he preaches. We preach Christ because we take delight in it. The songwriter says this, and it's true of all Christians, but especially is it true of the ministers of Christ. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. We stand in the We love to preach Christ. This story is worth telling. What is more worthy of preaching than Christ and what He is and has done for sinners? Think about this, folks. We preach Christ. We preach redemption from bondage through Christ. Deliverance from our captor through Christ. Justification from our condemnation and guilt by Christ. Sanctification from our uncleanness by Christ. Healing of our infirmities by Christ. Cleansing from the leprosy of sin by Christ. We preach glorification because we're going to be like Him instead of like ourselves. We delight in this. We delight in preaching Jesus Christ as our Savior. We delight in preaching Him as God manifested in the flesh and the only one who ever was, the only person ever having the dual natures of deity and humanity. We delight in preaching Him who went about doing good and healing the sick and delivering the oppressed. We delight in preaching His miracles, His teaching, His doctrine, His preaching. We delight in preaching whom and what He is. I do not delight in talking about anyone else like that. I find no one else worthy of being preached when I get into a pulpit. I have read the works of some great men. I've read some systematic theologies. I've read some good messages. I've heard some, but my delight is preaching Christ, folks. We preach Christ because we delight in Him. Third, we preach Christ because Christ must increase, but I must decrease. Folks, the man who said those words was acclaimed by Jesus Christ as one of whom no one born of woman was greater. None born of woman greater than this man, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, what do you think about Jesus Christ? He's preferred before me. I'm not worthy to loose the sandals on His feet. He must increase, but I must decrease. I mean, this great preacher, Jesus speaks of John the Baptist as a great preacher, unsurpassed. And this man who is unsurpassed says, no, He must increase and I must decrease. I've met preachers. You've seen them on the television. You've heard them on the radio. And they want to increase their writings and they have not much to say about Christ's. They exalt their churches more than they exalt His. They exalt their personalities more than they exalt His. They exalt everything about themselves as though to say, I must increase. And if it be at the expense of Christ, so be it. Not gospel preachers. He must increase. I must decrease. In just a short time, I'm now 70 years old. I'm not going to live much longer. And I will appreciate every year that I get, but I'm not going to live forever. I know that. I'm not quite as invincible as I was when I was 21. But, I'm going to die and go the way of all flesh, and folks will forget that Moose Park was ever around. I know that. Doesn't bother me. I am here to serve my generation. And in serving my generation, the message is Christ must increase and I'm going to decrease. And one of these days, I'm gone and nobody knows I was here, but He will live forever. Amen. He will live forever and continue to increase. That's why we preach Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. Fourth, we preach Christ that in all things He may have the preeminence. That is our desire, that in all things He has the preeminence. God the Father gave Him the preeminence in the work of creation. Christ created it all. God gave to Jesus Christ the preeminence in the work of providence. It is Christ who causes the sun to rise every morning and the clouds to come and bring the rains. And it is Christ who controls the seasons one by one. It is Christ who controls all these things. God the Father says in all things, Christ has the preeminence. Christ has the preeminence in salvation. It's all about Jesus Christ. And Christ has preeminence in this book. In this book. Now, what do preachers do? We preach this book. This is what we preach. I spent some years in a seminary. Mandatory chapel. 5 days a week. And we had to be there. Had some of the most famous preachers from across America and some from foreign countries came and preached in chapel. And I recall on a number of occasions, and yes, I could be perhaps a little picky, but I would take out my pen and paper and keep a tally of every time Christ was mentioned. I have heard preachers, famous preachers, expound whole chapters and never preach Christ and the gospel. I've heard it many times. I have heard many famous preachers preach messages and just give a passing reference to Jesus Christ. Rarely did I ever hear a preacher during the days I was in seminary, and it was a seminary of in free will. But rarely did I ever hear a preacher even giving a serious attempt to preach Christ. They could preach passages of Scripture and completely miss Him. And I'm sitting there wondering, how did you miss Him? He jumps off of the page at you. Well, some preachers look at Christ, they look at the Scriptures, and they see just about everything there is in the Scriptures. Jesus said, these are those who testify of Me. He expounded in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Well, surely you would think that the man who preaches the Scriptures would preach Christ. Then in all things He must have the preeminence. Fifth, we preach Christ because we are commissioned to preach Christ. Bear in mind, I'm giving you some reasons, seven of them all together. This is number five. They are not necessarily in the order of their importance. All right? This is a random order. You can rearrange it any way you want to. But look at this fifth reason. We preach Christ because we are commissioned to preach Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel? I just told you, it's Christ. Christ is the good news. Christ is the glad tidings. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching Christ and the gospel is not an option. It is our duty. We go into all the world to preach Christ. Everywhere, preach Christ. I've known missionaries who would come to the U.S. looking for monetary support, and when they go and they get invitations to preach in various places, and it is as though before they go to preach to a church, it's, which way is the wind blowing? What do they believe here? You know, so before you go to the church, you find, what do they believe? That's what I'll preach. That's what I'll preach. I've seen this happen, you know, particularly with men from other countries who come to the U.S. looking for funds. And if they find this church preaches this and believes that, that's what they preach. You know? And if another church preaches something else, they can preach that also. And they have to be careful that, you know, that they don't let it be known in every place what they really believe if they believe anything, but there are many men who can adapt their message to adapt, you know, to fit their congregation. Not a gospel preacher. It may get us in trouble, the gospel that we preach. Rolf Barner was run out of more than one town. And, you know, a number of Christ preachers have been run out of various places, but they're not going to change the message. We were commissioned to preach Christ. It's what we do. We preach Christ. We exalt Christ. That's what our commission is. If I fail to preach Christ, I have failed my commission. And therefore, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Number six, we preach Christ because we are compelled to preach Christ. There is a compelling in this. Paul says, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. I have to preach it. There was a preacher by the name of Jeremiah, whom the Lord called to preach, and Jeremiah went out to preach, and things did not go too well for Jeremiah, and the people turned against him, and so Jeremiah came back to the Lord, and he said, I quit. And what'd you say? I quit! And the Lord is though to say, no, you don't quit. And then Jeremiah says that His Word was in me as a fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Many times, I will admit, many times I have wondered how easy would it be to quit. And you know, the times of discouragement and times when instead of being on top of the mountain was on top of me. And at times at that, this calling and this necessity, it's laid upon me. Woe if I do not preach Christ. His Word was in me as a fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I'm compelled to preach Christ. Compelled to preach Christ. Ezekiel is visited by the Lord, and the Lord said, Ezekiel, you're a watchman on the wall. And people in the city, they're dependent upon you. And if you see the enemy coming and you say nothing, and the enemy comes and destroys them, their blood is on your hands. Now, if you see the enemy coming and you tell the people and they do nothing and they die, their blood is on their own hands. Your hands are clean. I realize that tonight that if I do not preach the gospel, the blood of all my hearers is upon my hands. A little more than 35 years ago, I was ministering on an island, and the issue of abortion became big news. You know, people, politicians were fighting abortion. And in my youth, I thought, all right, I need to weigh in on this subject. And so, one Lord's Day morning, I preached a message on abortion. There was no gospel in it. I preached a message on abortion. Every statement I made was true. I could back up every word I said by Scripture. In attendance that day, there was a lady who had never attended our worship service before. And she was agreeing with every word I said, every statement I made. I could see the nodding of the head. I could tell from the expressions on her face that she was agreeing with every word I said as I preached this message about abortion. And after the message, she never came back. Never came back. I had one opportunity to preach the gospel to that woman, and I preached something else. It's been more than 35. It's going close to 40 years now. And that thought has plagued me repeatedly and oftentimes. I hope and pray that God, let her at least hear the gospel somewhere by some preacher, by some means. But I know she did not hear it from me. Did not hear it from me. And dying in unbelief, if she does, blood's on my hands. I had an opportunity and I didn't. And I vowed it would never happen again. Never again. I want to be free of the blood of all men, and the only way I can do it is to preach Christ. I'm compelled to do so. This necessity of the souls of men. When Peter and John are arrested and told to quit preaching, they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that's my testimony, folks. I've got to tell you what I've seen and heard. I have seen Christ. I have heard Christ. I preach Christ. That's your testimony, right? All of us gospel preachers, that is our testimony. I've never seen Muhammad, never heard of him, never heard from him, so I'm not going to preach him. Okay? And Joseph Smith never appeared to me, and never heard a word he ever said, so I'm not going to preach him. Christ has appeared to me. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have seen Christ. I have heard Christ. I will preach Christ. I must preach to you the things that I have seen in her. I'm compelled. Woe is unto me. Let me say this also. If woe is unto me, if I do not preach Christ, if it is necessary for me to preach Christ, and if I do so, it is necessary for you to believe Christ, and woe is unto you if you do not. This it works both ways, folks. Necessity is upon me to preach Christ, and necessity is upon you to believe Christ. Which brings me to my final point. We preach Christ so that sinners will call upon Him and be saved. And this truth is set forth in Romans 10. For whoever calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. God will not save you apart from a preacher. He's necessary, folks. He's necessary. God does not save sinners by them going out into the forest and hearing the wind whistling through the branches. God does not save men while they're fishing in the stream and enjoying nature. Doesn't happen that way, folks. Well, I think I can be close to God in those places. You might be close to God and you might be as far away from God as you can be. The only way that God saves sinners is through a preacher. Through a preacher. God never saved a single solitary sinner through a preacher preaching himself. God never saved a sinner through a false preacher. God never saved a sinner through a preacher preaching himself, his own doctrine, his own church, his whatever it is of himself. The only way God will save a sinner is by a God-called preacher preaching a God-given message, and that God-given message is Jesus Christ. And that is why I preach Christ. That is why we preach Christ. Paul says, we. He's not speaking merely for himself. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Let others preach what they will. I'm telling you, folks, this is an awesome responsibility and a blessed duty. And it is a privilege and an honor to preach the gospel. And that's why we do it. Now believe the gospel that you've heard. O God our Father, to the glory of your name, to the honor of your Son, Jesus Christ, bless this message, we pray. Bless the gospel we've endeavored to preach. Bless our hearts to believe in your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.